Hey, this is Photography in Society, the podcast by the Master Program under the same name at the Royal Academy of the Art in The Hague.
What does it mean to do research as a visual maker?
In what ways can research be conducted?
How can making things guide thinking processes and vice versa? These are some of the guiding questions behind Unstill, the season of our podcast focusing on the research processes and works of the graduates of 2023.
Landscape, mountains, hiking, family tradition of hiking, family, plants, animals, global warming, feeling of powerlessness, ecofeminism, grief, imagination, future, utopia, water, butterfly, scientific knowledge, skiing, research, photography, cyanotype, painting, collaboration, collage, sound, performance, writing, poetry, archive, memories, suitcase. My name is Lea Novi, she, and my background is documentary photographer. Oh, it's called I studied photo design. I work with different mediums. I use, for example, the camera as a research tool, but also as a medium to present the research. I use sound recording. I use cyanotype and text. And for presenting the work, I'm not limited to one specific medium. So I think what fits best the purpose I want to show. I'm interested in global warming. Global warming, I think it's connected with a lot of other themes. For the project I did as my graduation work, I worked also on memory, ecology, utopia, scenarios. In my graduation work, you will hear a lot. You will hear different voices and sound. And then you can also see landscape pictures from the past, from the present, and from the future. My work is about the biggest mountain in Germany, which is called Zugspitze, and where once the biggest glacier was existing, called Schneeferner Glacier. And this glacier is not a glacier anymore because it's too small to seen scientifically as a glacier. And I'm asking on this area the question, how do I relate to nature and how do we relate to nature? And I unfold this question with some of my family members by doing together hiking trips there. And also by researching this area and finding different characters on my research. I researched on the mountain and I was looking for sources to see what experts are saying about the future of the mountain. And there was not so much found about, because as it was global warming, that there are so many variables which are so difficult to estimate, because it's so difficult to say how it will look in the future. It's impossible. It was in the press that the glacier Schneeferner lost its status, and this was really weird to me also to hear that the humans gave the glacier the status, you are glacier, and some years later they just say, okay, you're not a glacier anymore. So that opened a lot of questions as well. I built a narrative where I share a lot about my experience in the mountains and my experience as researching this project. I share stories of the butterfly and of the water, of the different scientists I had contact, of innkeepers who also live there and have a family house in the fourth generation on this mountain, on my granddad, on rocks. In my research, I had really different position where I was, which I researched, and in the narrative, I decided on few, because otherwise it's get quite crowded. I also did a lot of research about this stone, which is appearing now because the glacier is melting. Also, I did hiking tours with my grandmother, with my mom and my dad, so they also play a role, but they are not that visible in the project. I think global warming was always in my head, even before I moved to the Netherlands to start my master program. And I can remember on the first Christmas where I went back to Germany and visit my grandparents, that I asked my grandparents to look in their archive pictures. And my grandmother, she only had like few images and they were all in the mountains. And I didn't know about her past, that she was for such a long time and so regular in the mountains. And when she showed me the pictures, I immediately could see the differences of this environment for like it was 6 years ago. And today, so actually I started to have conversation with my grandparents who don't live together and have like really a different relationship to mountains also. Then I heard in the news that the Alps are the most affected place in Europe of global warming. And I was interested, why is it like this? And also, what does it mean? What will be the effects? And can you actually see it already? After I looked at the archive pictures, I reflected of how I grew up in this area, which is close to the mountain. And that it's today so different. And for example, this place is like covered by tourists. When they go there and don't have the background, they even don't see global warming. But for the plants and for the animals, it will has the biggest impact in the short time. My research looked like, I think there were like two ways. On the one side, I did a lot of hiking trips in this area, where I, for example, looked where and how the water is stored and where I could see with like knowledge already had a bit from this area, what is changing and what is not changing. And then these observation, I reach out to specialists. For example, when I was on the top of the mountain, which is nearly 3,000 meters, I saw a butterfly. And I was wondering, why is this butterfly so high up? And then I reached out to a scientist and she actually could explain me the reason for that. The butterflies, they live in all kind of places. And one place are also the Alps. And they, since now, they more or less live like in the valley, like where the trees are, where the forests are, where they find plants they eat. And where they put also their eggs for the next generation. But because it's getting hotter also on the top of the mountain Zugspitze, they realized that they can even also fly up and live there because they prefer hotter temperatures. But when they're up there, they don't know actually that there are no plants they can eat. I really suddenly saw this butterfly next to me and was like really surprised because I never saw a butterfly so high. Then I was also looking and searching like what will happen with all the water which I see on this glacier is just running. Where will it end and what does it mean for this area? I started to take a position of non-human entities because the general debate about global warming is what is the impact for humans. The impact is also there for a lot of plants and animals, and I think it's important to consider also that because humans are dependent on functional ecosystems, and when they destroy the ecosystems, then it's also a problem for them. But also, I found it important to think also what humans does to species who are not humans. The first mountain tour which I did with my dad was in January 2022. Yeah, my dad wanted to join me and we went there with the train, and then we took the cable car up and we went skiing. And then we were sitting in the restaurant, which is called Panorama View or something like this. And we have this restaurant with really huge like windows where you could look outside and see even to Italy on really nice days. And I was talking with my dad like how we imagine this place in 50 years. I was quite frustrated on this day because I did not take a lot of pictures, and also because I studied photography and worked a lot for documentary photographers. I already had this in my mind, like, what do I see? And actually, you don't see anything. Then like, a landscape which is covered by snow and people are skiing on it and getting drunk, or I don't know what they do there, taking selfies. After the first trip, I was a bit desperate how I should continue. During January and August, I had a lot of talks and interviews with my grandparents separately. And then in August, I did the most important trip with my grandmother. And we went up to the glacier, and my grandmother, she wasn't in the mountains since she were pregnant, which was like, she was like 24, then she stopped being in the mountains, and now she's getting 80 this year, so for her it was like really overwhelming. I was also not so sure what we will do. I prepared cyanotype and asked her if she wants to do this with me. I was really surprised that so many tourists were on this glacier. In front of the glacier, there's a lake and the people, they throw stones in it. It was so crowded, and I was like, whoa, I really was not prepared for this. And my grandma said, okay, let's just climb up this glacier and then we can do cyanotype where it's a bit like less crowded. And I was like, yeah, actually, I don't know if this is so safe to walk up there, because there were a lot of water came down. There were like small rivers in the ice and like holes and stuff. And then my grandmother, she just like started walking up, and I was like, I think I have to follow her. And then it worked really well. And then we were up, and my grandmother, she was really overwhelmed because she was like, actually, she could really like imagine her being like beginning of the 20s. And know how to walk up this glacier. And for me, it was the first time, and I was quite scared. Then we were there and we did cyanotypes together. I had a lot of emotions because I really felt like grieving, but also like super happy to be there, and also like super happy to be there with my grandmother, but also super weird with so many tourists. So it was like, okay, I have to digest this event and see how I will continue. Then I started the next hiking trips, and my dad always wanted to join because he knows this area so well and he has all the tools. And then my mom said that she's also interested to do this once with me. On the mountain Zugspitze, there's a really huge research station where a lot of projects are being made. And I was thinking, oh yeah, that's actually great, because maybe I can work with them together, or like even use their facilities, or I could also sleep there. And I also know that next to this scientist house or research house, I think it's called Environment Research Institution, they also have like a tunnel to the permafrost. And I really wanted to go inside the mountain and to look at this permafrost, because this is of course also melting. But still today, like, it always get refused. I cannot go inside because they don't have capacity to look for a person who's not researching how they research, or like who's not also in an institution about science and who doesn't has like a specific reason why to go up there. Yeah, I had contact with 5 different people from this research station and tried to understand actually what is this for a place. And then in the end, I met one person who's working there or who's doing a project there, and he shared me a bit how I can imagine what is happening in this house. So I had to work around this. I met with the innkeepers which lives in the valley, and they shared me a lot of knowledge and stories about how they already see the effects of global warming, even in their hut. Then I had interviews and contact with scientists. Also, my hiking trips I see as research because, I mean, if you read something, why is it important that a dead tree is still there? And then you see it, what is actually happening with it in the forest or in the mountains. I could connect it and then it makes, yeah, more sense. So I see the hiking trips as research. It was like not the typical hiking trips that you walk up and try to be the first on the top of the mountain. It was like making several stops to take pictures or like to make notes, to be able to look it up later, what it is or why it looks like this. Actually, I'm so interested in ecology that everything I found out was really fascinating to me. I did a lot of research, but there are, of course, like thousands of different species, and I still think that I'm on the surface with my research. I just collected like a tiny bit, but it feels really not that I could grasp actually what is happening there. I mean, I can tell a lot what is happening there, but I know there's so many things which will be affected of global warming I don't have understood yet. I did one outcome which can be seen on the grad show. The outcome will be a sound installation. For the sound installation, I collaborated with a writer, Julia Wilhelm, and she wrote experimental and poetry texts. Each character who has a specific relationship to the glacier is written down in a text, and this text will be transferred into sound. I will produce music for that as well. When I looked at all the pictures I did, I struggled with the medium photography because I just feel like the pictures cannot tell actually the research I found. They can help to understand it and get like an idea of how the place looks. But I needed like one layer which provides a bit more information, and I was thinking that experimental text can be this layer. This collaboration happened like naturally. I was looking for a person who can write in a specific way, which I cannot do. I gave her a presentation with the suitcase of my grandmother because she went with the suitcase already to the mountain, where I put all the pictures and research in the suitcase and kind of presented it to her when I visit her. And based on the research, she wrote the text of the characters. But because Julia, for example, is also really interested in water and also did already a project or like a whole magazine about water, she also could expand on the research, not only talking about this water from the mountain, but also what is water in a different context. I will continue with the research, and the next thing what I want to do is to plan a funeral for the glacier in next year, August, which actually will be something else. It's not so related to photography because it will be a performance where I will work also with activists together, which is maybe a trip for kind of 3 to 4 days by walking up there and then doing the funeral. I have several conclusions, but also new questions. I really struggled with the feeling of powerlessness regarding global warming, and I found for myself that if I learn a lot about ecology, and this knowledge provides me hope. And I also see like global warming is happening and it's horrible and will have an impact on every person. But I also think that this can be a chance that everybody asks, like, how do I want to relate to nature? And this is also my hope.
Thank you for listening to Unstill, a season of Photography and Society, the podcast by the master program under the same name at the Royal Academy of the Art, The Hague.
If you are curious to hear more about the research processes of the graduating students of 2023, listen to the remaining episodes from this season.
This season was designed and produced by Sophie Allerding
and Emilia Martin.